The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known to you as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our program for over 10 years. Thank you, Carter Glass. Want to talk to them? They can reach at 919-781-1973. And now it is time to return to the December 2019 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This is the season's greetings issue, and we are right now going to meet Clarence Claus. The Santa that so many have been waiting for has already wrapped Oprah's presents and thousands more since an apex couple created him for a line of holiday paper and stationery. Soon, he will appear under trees across the state. Now, there's a full-page picture of a little boy, a young boy, with brown skin, opening a package, a present. He's ripping down across something that says, ho, 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 and has pictures of Santa Claus on it. And the caption reads, Ellie Rogers' mom, Jackie, wanted him to rip into wrapping paper with brown-skinned Santas that looked more like his father and grandfather's. When she couldn't find any, she created her own line of products. When Jackie Rogers thinks back on Christmas's past, what she remembers most is the magic, the rush of crisp Christmas air that followed her father as he walked through the door of her childhood home with a freshly cut tree, the blended scents of evergreen and cinnamon that drifted through the house as her mother made holiday gingerbread, the whiz of sharp scissors cutting a clean line through wrapped paper as she and her sisters prepared presents. And she remembers watching her mom take a pencil to store-bought Christmas cards and carefully color in the faces of the white Santa Clauses until they miraculously transformed into black Santas. Jackie's eyes would light up, and she would grin and giggle. Shading in the white faces on greeting cards and wrapping paper had long been a holiday tradition in many families. Before the 1970s, it was nearly impossible to find greeting cards with black or brown faces on them in major department stores like Woolworth's or Kress. In 1962, Hallmark introduced a limited number of products for African-American families, but it wasn't until 1987, when Jackie was four, that the company expanded its selection with the Mahogany line, and even those didn't become a year-round offering until 1991. As for wrapping paper, you couldn't find any, Jackie says. Fast forward to 2015. She still couldn't find any. That fall, about a year after the birth of her first child, Elijah, Jackie began the search that would change her life. I wanted to be intentional about the images that I show my children, she says. I wanted them to see diversity in all things. Surely, she thought, by now she'd easily be able to find a black Santa on a wrapping paper. But no, I couldn't find it in stores. I couldn't find it online. I reached out to some of my sorority sisters in other major cities, and her voice trails off. She shakes her head. Nothing. It simply didn't exist. Then it occurred to her. Why not make her own? She found an illustrator to bring her vision of a black Santa to life, and she named him Clarence after her father. Then, in October 2016, she launched Green Top Gifts, which she named for the Hillsboro restaurant that her grandfather ran back in the 40s and 50s. And now, Clarence Claus, a jolly old Saint Nick with a fluffy white beard, warm smile, bright eyes, and rich brown skin, appears on 6 different styles of wrapping paper. The company was such a godsend for many African-American families that when Jackie posted photos of Clarence on social media, people immediately reposted them. News of Clarence eventually made its way to Oprah. In the December 2017 issue of O, the Oprah magazine, Gayle King, the CBS This Morning anchor, is shown wearing a Clarence Claus sweatshirt and surrounded by gifts wrapped in Clarence Claus paper. "When we head to Oprah's for Christmas," King wrote, "I know what my favorite son's and favorite daughter's presents will be wrapped in." Jackie chuckles at her good fortune. "I don't know Oprah and Gayle," she says, "but Clarence has already been to Oprah's home in Hawaii." The morning sun casts a warm light on the dining room table inside the Apex home that Jackie shares with her husband, Sean, their son, Eli, who's now 5, and 1-year-old daughter, Cameron. Today, things look mighty Christmassy. In the center of the table is a pile of green top gear. Clarence smiles from the front of a tiny onesie, his face surrounded by the words, "My First Christmas." And there he is again on gift bags, labels, coffee mugs, socks, sweatshirts, hoodies, ball caps, and rolls of wrapping paper. Jackie rubs a corner of the paper between her index finger and thumb and says, "I just love the texture of good paper." Jackie's always been a holiday nerd, especially when it comes to Christmas. "I'm a December baby," she says. "I love all things Christmas. I love all things celebration. That's my jam." Throughout the year, she spends her leisure time browsing bookstores and gift shops for cards and paper. "I'm pretty much a stationery snob," she says, laughing. "I like to pick it up and feel it and say to myself, 'Ooh, this is such a nice paper.'" She knew exactly what she wanted for her Clarence Claus line. "I wanted it to be thick. I wanted it to fold and crease extremely well," she says. "I didn't want the paper to be so thin that you could see through it." As she talks, Jackie's mother quietly fusses about the kitchen, wiping counters and putting things away in the refrigerator. Family is important to Jackie. When she first launched Greentop, her mom, sister, and aunt would come to the house and prepare boxes for shipping. Jackie and Sean would help out later when they got home from work. "The first year we stayed up until 11 or 12, packing until we were cross-eyed," Jackie remembers. The Rogerses have since hired a fulfillment company to handle the orders. But Greentop remains a small mom-and-pop enterprise that the couple operates on the side. Jackie, who studied business at Clark Atlanta University, still works full-time in consumer packaged goods, while Sean, who has a background in finance, works for a Raleigh tech firm. When Jackie initially told Sean that she wanted to start an online business selling wrapping paper, he was very supportive but wary and suggested that she research the market. Jackie compiled industry reports on wrapping paper, looked at how many African-American companies buy it, and compared that with how many people overall buy it. When she was certain that there was a market for paper with black Santas, she made a few calls to manufacturers to learn about the printing process. Then she approached Sean again. He asked one more time, "Are you sure you can't buy it anywhere?" "Yes," she told him. "It doesn't exist. There's a void." "Okay," he said. "Let's do it." The Santa Claus we know today has evolved over centuries. St. Nicholas is believed to have been born in 280 A.D. in Lycia, nicknamed Sinterklaas by the Dutch, and brought to America in the 1770s. Here he was mythologized by Washington Irving in an 1809 book which had St. Nick riding over the tops of the trees in that self-same wagon wherein he brings his yearly presents to children. Later, back in England, in 1843, Charles Dickens fine-tuned the idea of Santa Claus in A Christmas Carol, though his version was named Ghost of Christmas Present, and wore a green robe. It wasn't until the 1860s when the great German-American illustrator Thomas Nast depicted Santa in a red suit that our image of the rosy-cheeked, bearded gent was crystallized in the collective imagination. To create a vision of Santa for this millennium, Jackie turned to the internet and landed on a page of illustrations by an artist based in Ghana, a long way from the Triangle suburbs. She told him what she wanted. Clarence should have a look that would engage both children and adults. He needed to radiate joy. The most important part would be the eyes, Jackie says, because when you see images of Santa, there's that unstated magic about him, that wink, that smile. In other words, the joyful essence of Santa never changes, even as he continues to evolve. Jackie reaches across the table and gently picks up a hoodie bearing Clarence's image. The nice thing we've found is that in addition to people who have children of color, there's a lot of people who are white or Latino, and they want to buy these items for their kids, too, to show diversity, to show that Santa can be all different colors. His fluffy white beard, warm smile, bright eyes, and rich brown skin make Jackie's eyes light up, and she grins and giggles. He's just perfect. If you're interested in this product, call 877-687-4277. You can place your orders online at greentopgifts.com. You're listening to Our State Magazine on the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments on our program, please call 919-832-5138. And now, a holiday poem for the ages. 70 years ago, Eleanor Hawkins' professor asked her to choose a book she'd collect for the rest of her life. She picked The Night Before Christmas. Today, she has more than 1,000 copies. Eleanor D. Hawkins' remarkable 92-year-old complexion puts her closer to 70, but a youthful countenance isn't the only remarkable aspect of Miss Eleanor, as many affectionately call her. In her home in Cove City, in boxes and crates, on shelves and tables, in Ziploc bags and envelopes, and between thin layers of tissue like the ones your grandmother used to pack away clothing for the season, are more than 1,000 copies of Clement Clark Moore's classic holiday poem, most commonly known as The Night Before Christmas. This is no Guinness World Records attempt, though, nor a hoarder's compulsion. Hawkins' important archive is destined for the rare book collection at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where in 1949 she entered the School of Library Science. No accident that. She had wanted to be a librarian since sixth grade. On her first day of classes at Carolina, a professor gave an assignment. Choose a book to collect for the rest of your life and write a paper on why. Hawkins selected The Night Before Christmas because her mother read the poem aloud to her every Christmas Eve, and I decided it was a tradition I needed to share, she says. The day the paper was due, she went straight to the intimate bookshop on Franklin Street and bought the first edition of that year, which came out then, as now, in September. Unwittingly, a collection and a tireless seeker had been born. Shortly after graduation, Hawkins started North Carolina's first televised children's show, Tell a Story Time, in which she read stories aloud on WFMY in Greensboro. In 1963, she took the show to WCTI in New Bern, where, all these 56 years later, Miss Eleanor is still reading stories aloud, and Tell a Story Time is now considered the longest-running children's TV show in the world. A librarian for 42 of those years, Hawkins is responsible for the creation of 8 libraries in eastern North Carolina. In 2012, she joined the ranks of Maya Angelou, Andy Griffith, and Michael Jordan in being awarded the North Carolina's most prestigious civilian honor, the Order of the Longleaf Pine, for her contributions and dedication to the state. Hawkins, surrounded by Christmas decorations of every size and description, Santa's, snow globes, sleds, is wearing, naturally, a sweater with candy cane appliques. It goes without saying that she knows the history behind the night before Christmas, but if you're fuzzy on its origin, Moore, a professor of Greek literature at the General Theological Seminary in New York City, composed the poem, untitled, as a gift to read aloud to his daughters on Christmas Eve in 1822. A visiting cousin from Troy, New York, took home a copy of the poem, submitted it to the Troy Sentinel, and on December 23, 1823, the newspaper published it under the title, Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas. The author, however, was anonymous. For years, other newspapers, almanacs, and magazines followed suit with the popular poem, also without authorship or copyright. In 1844, Moore published it in a book of his poetry. Mystery solved, history made. My goal was to find all the editions to represent every year since his publication in 1823, Hawkins says. She's still missing a few years, but not for lack of trying to find them. With an iPad at her side, she's a whiz at internet searching, bidding, and buying. And the sheer variety of her collection surely compensates for any gaps. An edition in Braille, editions in foreign languages, an edition the size of your thumbnail, bound in leather and kept under plexiglass, given to her by a sister, a first edition sheet of stamps from 1972. I went out and bought all I had so I could use them on my letters year-round, Hawkins says. An edition in American Sign Language, a fragile edition in limp muslin fabric, its delicate dyes faded. Even some parodies, and nearly everyone has a story, a provenance, if you will. Take that unusual fabric edition. When Miss Eleanor and her husband Carol traveled, all she wanted to do was go to used bookstores. I've been to them in grocery stores and filling stations. Carol would drop me off, she says. On one such visit to the Book Mart in Baltimore Village in the 50s, Hawkins was told by Nancy Brown, the owner, that she had no children's books. That's okay, Hawkins says. I'll just browse North Carolina history until my husband returns. An hour later, after Hawkins herself had been helping customers find particular volumes, a small miracle took place. Brown invited Hawkins to her office behind a padlocked gate, opened a desk drawer, and from beneath a stack of old Mother Goose books retrieved a tattered copy of A Visit from St. Nicholas. She lovingly turned the pages, read it aloud, Hawkins says, and then she said, "This is my book that I grew up with, and because you've told me yours is a very serious collection, I'd like you to have it." For another edition, Hawkins sent her son, John, then a freshman at UNC Chapel Hill, to a rare book auction. "I was this 18-year-old kid in there with a bunch of rare book collectors," John recalls. "I had no idea what I was doing, but I just kept bidding until I got it." With a copyright still rendered in Roman numerals, the book is illustrated by English artist Arthur Rackham. Because Hawkins not only looks for certain years, she looks for specific illustrators. After all, the poem's wording doesn't change, but how it looks does. Each illustrator has a different take on the classic verse. Hawkins' sentimental favorite remains the one that her mother read aloud to her, illustrated by Fern Bissell Peet from 1933. Hawkins read it to John each Christmas Eve, and now she reads it to John's children as well, creating a fourth-generation tradition. When is a poem not just a poem? When it's a read-aloud annual tradition. When it embodies the spirit of a holiday, when it's the basis for a lifetime dedicated to searching. You have a copy of The Night Before Christmas on a shelf, too. Pull it down and look for the three idiosyncrasies that interest Hawkins. Does it read Happy Christmas to All or Merry Christmas to All? Miss Eleanor prefers the former. Is the reindeer named Donder, as in the original, or Donner, as is now common? Has the illustrator drawn children snug in their beds, plural, or slumbering in one large bed? Here's my version. Three children are snug in one bed, piled high with patchwork quilts. A trio of tiny angels floats above their heads. delicate, finely etched as woodcuts. The illustrations are by Arthur Rackham. My slender 1983 edition with its yellowing scotch-taped cover is the same edition that John Hawkins bid on for his mother decades ago. Long after Eleanor Hawkins' astounding collection leaves Cove City for Chapel Hill, her devotion to The Night Before Christmas will continue. Every Christmas Eve, the poem is read aloud at Trinity Church in New York City at the Clement Clark Moore Candlelight Carol Service. Moore, once a parishioner, is buried in the church's cemetery. Beginning in 2017, the wreath laid on the grave was given in honor of Eleanor Hawkins, and it will continue to be for 50 years into the future. Moore's 56-line verse, with its cheerful, charming narrative and simple rhyme scheme, has become, in the nearly 200-year history, the foundation for countless toasts, roasts, farewells, and congratulations from weddings to retirements. And, of course, it's read on Christmas Eve. Miss Eleanor knows how it goes 1,000 times over. 'Twas the night before Christmas. You can surely take it from there. That was written by Susan Stafford Kelly, a novelist and frequent contributor to our state. Well, our time is somewhat limited at this point, but we have not run out of time. So we're going to read an article about one of the North Carolina cities in the front end of the magazine under We Live Here Downtown, and we'll talk about Statesville. Horse-drawn carriages, carolers on the sidewalk, storefronts aglow with Christmas lights. In December, downtown Statesville is full of comfort and joy. Even after the season ends, the magic lingers. Gloria Hager was a teenager when she got her first job in a dress shop in downtown Statesville. The experience helped her develop a passion for both retail and the historic neighborhood, where she later went on to open Gigi's Art Frames and Gifts. Today, her own store, which she opened 50 years ago, sits across the street from the former dress shop. Downtown Statesville, with its historic streetscape, public art, and ever-increasing number of shops, restaurants, and breweries, is bustling all year. But Hager says that the area is at its best during the holidays. We've had people say that it feels like a scene in a Hallmark movie, she says. During the annual Shop and Stroll event, carolers wander the streets singing holiday favorites. They always stop at Gigi's to sing Angels We Have Heard on High, with its refrains of Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Horse-drawn carriages glide past historic homes lit up for Christmas and store windows decked out for the season. Hager hopes that when shoppers come to Statesville, especially at this time of year, they get the same feeling that she did when she worked at the dress shop decades ago. And at this point, we go into some photos and some descriptions, so I will do that. The first one is Shop. Gigi's Art Frames and Gifts. Hager hopes that her boutique is a happy place to shop year-round, but she adds Christmas is super special. Gigi's transforms into a winter wonderland full of holiday decor sold alongside original artwork, handmade North Carolina pottery and jewelry, and gourmet foods. So here's a picture of Ms. Hager in a black jacket and a cream-colored blouse, several strands of pearls in her blonde hair and smiling face looking at us. And below that, a Santa pillow, two Santas with very long beards and red noses that pop out here on what looks not really a burlap bag, but kind of a burlap color pillow nestled up against a tree. And then we have a street scene that spans two pages. We see City Hall on the right. There's a great big arch with City Hall at the top. And it was some kind of a light that hang down underneath, but it's now completely covered with holly and ribbon. And there's also some holly and ribbon strung along the front of the building. There's a street light, and it has a banner hanging from it that says, Happy Holidays. Here's a lit Christmas tree in downtown, quite tall, quite full. And then we have a Christmas Carol walking tour, and we see a guide, a woman in period clothes, talking to a group of people that have come along to learn a little history, perhaps. A play, A Christmas Carol Walking Tour. Theater Statesville performs this roaming play at multiple locations around downtown. A guide leads the audience from one stage to the next for each scene. It's quite something to see the actors walking downtown in their costumes, Hager says. And, of course, that's what I was talking about above without having read the explanation. City Hall, I mentioned that, completed in 1892, this building served as a federal courthouse and post office before becoming City Hall. In 2012, the building underwent an extensive restoration. Now, Hager says, it looks just like it did when I was a child. And Stay, the Clichy Inn. Listed on the National Registry of Historic Places, the stately home was built for Charles H. Turner, a local inventor and manufacturer of tractors and farm equipment. My dad worked for Turner Machinery, Hager says. The 6-guest room inn, which includes a carriage house, is within walking distance of downtown shops and restaurants. And speaking of shop, here's another one, Indigo Boutique. North Carolina native Margaret Rabin wants to share her love of fashion with shoppers in downtown Statesville. Her boutique is filled with the latest clothing trends and fun accessories. Play at the Iredell Museums. When they were growing up, Hager's children loved the living history programs at Iredell Museums. The Gregory Creek Homestead features a collection of historic cabins from Iredell and Alexander counties. The museum also houses local artifacts and hands-on science and history exhibits. Drink, the Fourth Creek Brewing Company. When Jonathan Nobinger, started pulling pints in 2018. He made history for opening the first brewery in Statesville since Prohibition. Fourth Creek uses local ingredients whenever possible. The Percolicious Nitro Coffee Poster, or rather Porter, is made with beans roasted a block away at Sky Mountain Coffee. Red Buffalo Brewing Company. After a decade of home brewing, Joe Bundy decided to go all in and start a brewery. Red Buffalo opened in 2018 and has earned a following for its Red Ale, Mouthy Blonde, and Holt Up Jalapeno Blonde Ale. Jalapeno Ale. Now that's interesting. And you can also eat at the Broad Street Burger, or the Twisted Oak American Bar and Grill, or at Risto's Place. Well, my friends, that is about all the time we have for this week's edition of Our State Magazine, and I hope that you enjoyed it. And you'll be sure to listen in next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments, questions, call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.